By the way of introduction, Isaiah chapter 44 and the third verse. It says, I will pour water on him who is thirsty. And you know what the Lord told me as I walked into this place? He said, one of the things that I'm going to create in this season is supernatural hunger. An atmosphere that people will just be stirred up where spiritual things are concerned. God is saying, it's the season to pour out. He said, I will pour water on who is thirsty, and I will pour flood on what? The dry ground. He said, I will pour my spirit on your seeds or descendants, and my blessing. I love that. My blessing. It didn't say your strength, your skill, your education. He said, my blessing on your offspring. If there's anything that will define your offspring, it will be my blessing. Lift up your two hands and shout, blessing. Blessing. Come on, scream and say, blessing. Anytime the word blessing is mentioned, you think about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Look at that lineage. A lineage of the blessing. I was preaching recently somewhere, and I was getting excited on Genesis 26 verse 12. You know, the Bible says Isaac sowed in the land, and the same year he reaped 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him, and the one was great, and became very great. I don't know if you know Genesis 26 verse 12 to 14. As I was getting excited, the Lord spoke to me. He said, there is a point you've missed for so long. He said, what I put on Isaac was not just for the 100-fold blessing. He said, what I put on him was for wells that needed to be reactivated. A lot of us stopped at the God bless me. I increase, I multiply. And God says, don't settle there. Oh my God, you're not listening to me. Go to Genesis 26. He said, don't settle there. There is a next dimension.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that is just, God is just starting out with you. You sowed, you increase 100-fold. The Lord bless you. You became very prosperous. Fine, but don't settle there. Let's read it. Then Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same fold in the same year, 100-fold. Now, let me give you the background story. Now, in Genesis 26 verse 1, we are made to realize that there was famine in the days of Isaac, just like there was famine in the days of Abraham. And in spite of the famine, God insisted, stay there. Listen, covenant is bigger than geography. According to geography, nothing was supposed to work. But in spite of what was happening in that geography, by covenant, God says, you will walk. I declare in this season, regardless of the report, the expert report, regardless of what is believed to be going on, I declare, you walk. Things were not supposed to work. And Isaac was already thinking naturally, I think I should check out. May you not check out of God's program. Oh, let me repeat it. I said, may you not check out of God's program. You heard what your pastor said. He was going to leave Chicago. Do you know he could have argued with me and said, Pastor, you know what? Let's just be practical and realistic. And in fact, thank God he gave me the right to speak into his life. You know, nothing breaks my heart more than pastoring people that will not give you the right to speak over their life. And you know, there are too many scams in the church. They will package it as a testimony. The Lord has done it finally. Finally, finally. Now, when somebody comes to you and says, the Lord has done it, that is clear. It's not asking for your input. The Lord has opened the door. We're going to the Queensland. You know, we're going to England, you know. But in as much as he was thinking of relocating to the United Kingdom, he still gave me the right to speak. I said, and all I said was, what did God say? And you know, this thing like, they want to control me. They want to be controlled. What is in you that cannot be controlled? Let's face it. What's in you that cannot be controlled? Maybe it's even for your good to be controlled. You want to control me? Oh, nobody will control me.
What? Are you that special? They want to control me. Nobody will control me. That's the easiest way to destroy your life. There's a lady in our church. The respect I have for her is so huge. Our organization reached out to her years ago and said, we want to move you to a senior executive role, major role, but it's going to require you to move to another state. You know, the kind of testimony you come and package before your pastor, the Lord has done it finally. And she was not an ordained minister as of that time. So it was not like she was high up there in the leadership of the church. She was just, you know, one of the maybe unit heads. But she booked an appointment with my wife. He said, ma'am, this is going on. This is the offer, but I want you to just pray with me. What should I do about it? And they spent days and weeks deliberating and praying about it. And they came to the conclusion that she's not supposed to move. So she went to meet them and said, I will not be able to move. I still want to be in Chicago. Guess what? The organization said, we'll make it work. You don't have to move. You can still stay in Chicago, maybe come over once in 2 weeks to the headquarters or wherever, but you can stay in Chicago. Do you know she could have moved? And, you know, she might still be invited. Maybe she will be president now. There's so many things we celebrate that are distractions. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
there are so many things. God, the devil set a trap for you. And you're like, God promoted me. I know what I want. This is the reason why God calls you sheep. A sheep is meant to be led. And a shepherd is supposed to lead. A shepherd that is not leading, does not know what he's doing. Why are you afraid of being led? Isaac saw in the land. But before he got there, do you know he had to stay in the land where there was famine? And God insisted, stay here. I will prosper. Now listen, Chicago is not the finest place. I won't lie to you. The houses are old. Anytime I go to places like California, I'm like, see houses, see weather. And to make it more interesting, when I landed in this country in 1999, I landed in San Francisco. I was living in the Silicon Valley. Can you imagine? Fremont, San Jose, those are my, you know, can you imagine from San Jose to -7 here? I mean, I don't know what God was thinking when he said, go to Chicago. I mean, why can't we? Could have settled down in California and raised a major work. Now, listen, write it down. You can't confuse God. You cannot. Because some of us, what we call prayer time is attempts to confuse God. You cannot confuse God. But I know God. Now, the mere fact that you want it does not make it good for you. He said there's a way that seems good unto man, but the end thereof is what? Destruction. I like it. All the people that went through divorce liked it. Wanted it. They were once in love. Although people around them want them. I know of a pastor that married a woman like that. He said, as the day they were going to do the wedding, the car will not start. And he knew it was God. Can you imagine? God was trying to get his attention. Don't finish your life. Don't finish your life. She said, God, have mercy. Ah, Christians, you are using mercy on God. God is trying to get your attention to save your life. Say, God, have mercy. So he said, okay, if you want to ruin your life, I'm not talking about a story I read somewhere. I experienced it. One of the most difficult couples I've ever counseled in my life. In fact, I had to give the woman a nickname. F-E. Fire extinguisher. I'm serious. I'm not dragging her. It's the truth. There was a day the guy called me late in the evening. He said, Pastor, I'm like, what's going on? So I just want to report myself. I've done it. I said, what did you do? So I just finished a bottle of beer. I'm like, what came on you? He said, Pastor, I went to church. My wife didn't come. She was at home. And I came back home. And, you know, we've been fighting for a while. And for the name, in the sake of peace, I was just trying to be nice. And I said, let me treat you. And he said, I went to the fridge. I brought the beer out and put it. He said, Pastor, said to it. He said, I finished it. Before I realized what I was doing, I'm like, okay, you are forgiven. There's now no condemnation. It was that terrible. Because it's settled outside the will of God. Prayer time is not an opportunity to make God do what you want. It's a time of alignment. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven has a plan for your life. Don't confuse God. Write it down. Don't confuse God. Just because you want it does not make it good for you. Do you know there was a time Jesus did not feel like going to the cross? Have you read that in the scripture before? His will as of that time was that I don't want to die. Apparently, maybe he saw people running around with their wives and kids. He said, why can't I be like these people? If possible, let this dying cup pass over me. But he was smart enough to put that phrase afterwards, not my will. Somebody say, not my will. I can't hear you. Say, not my will. But your will be done. So God insisted, Isaac stay in the land. Isaac stay in the land. Who am I talking to tonight? What will God have you do? Stay in the land. But I don't like this place. But that's still the place. What are you going to do about it? May you not relocate yourself out of God's plan. Amen. Do you know, I've realized anytime people move out of the will of God, they stop hearing God. But the moment you are aligned, you will hear God clearly. Boom, boom, boom. God told him, he said, you know what? Based on the covenant I made with your father, I will take care of you. This famine has nothing on you. Lift up your two and say, the famine has nothing on me. Come on, scream one more time. Say, the famine has nothing on me. And in the midst of the famine, the Bible says, Isaac sowed. And in the same year, he reaped 100-fold. Let's continue. Verse 13 says, the man began to prosper, continued to prosper, until he became very prosperous. Verse 14 says, for he had possessions of flocks, he had possession of herds, and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. Verse 15, I'm going somewhere. He said, now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, and they had filled them with the heart. Now listen, apparently, the plan of God was even much bigger than him just sowing in the land and reaping 100-fold. There were things in his lineage. No wonder God insisted, stay there. There were things in his lineage that God wanted to reactivate. Reactivate rather. He wanted to what? Reactivate. These wells were working in the days of his father. But they have been covered up. The wells, I don't know, the wells have been covered up. And God is saying, it's time to activate it. 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 But you know what? That journey was not the smoothest of all journey. Just because God was behind the reactivation did not mean it would be easy. Because there's this assumption that if God is behind it, it should be a smooth ride. Oh, come on. If God is behind it, there will be a lot of resistance. Because the mere fact that God is involved makes that journey, you know, very much interesting for the enemy in terms of he wants to get involved. Okay, this is the will of God. Okay, I will bring every opposition. So what did we see? As I began to redig the wells, what happened? It was resisted. The first attempt, resistance. The second attempt, resistance. But guess what? It went again. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. God says, go again. Don't you never say, go again. Somebody shout, go again. God was in the business. God was in the project. God was in the plan. And yet there was opposition. Go again. But God promised me. Why am I faced with all this opposition? Because God promised you. Go again. I love what Mark chapter 4 says. He said, for the word's sake, persecution arose. But go again. The presence of persecution does not mean God is not involved. But there's something about being so convinced of what God has spoken to you, that regardless of the opposition, you are still going. You know, there's a story I love so much, I believe, is in 1 Kings chapter 18, when God told Elijah to go and tell King Ahab that he's sending rain. I don't know if you know God is a rainmaker. Come on, somebody shout, rainmaker. Rainmaker. Come on, scream it, shout, rainmaker. Tomorrow I'm going to spend much more time talking about the rain. Because God spoke to me at the beginning of this year, said, you are in a season of abundance of rain. Somebody shout, rain. Rain. Somebody scream, rain. Come on, let me hear you one more time. Say, rain. And for God to say you are in a season of abundance of rain, that means he has men on ground. You hear me? God has what? Men on ground. Genesis chapter 2 verse 5. He has men on ground because he won't send rain until there are men on ground. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 5. Genesis chapter 2 verse 5. It says, before any plant of the field was in the heart, before any plant up of the field had grown, for the Lord had not caused it to rain on the heart, and there was no man to till the ground. So if you see rain, it's because there are men to till the ground. If God is saying there's going to be so much rain in your season, in this season, in your time, that means he has men that are ready. Do I have some of those men and women in the house tonight? Who are the men and women on ground? Come on, you wave your hand and say, I'm a man on ground. Because rain means God is getting ready for harvest. You know, the Bible talks about the early rain, which is meant to till the ground. And it talks about the latter rain, which is meant to, you know, bat the harvest. And God is saying, in your time, in your season, I'm going to put both the early and the latter rain. At the same time, I'm going to put it. So that as you are tilling the ground, you are batting the harvest. Amos 9, 13 generation. One thing after the other. Boom, 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 boom. The cycle will be so accelerated. Harvest everywhere. But back to 1 Kings chapter 18. God told Elijah, he said, go tell Ahab, I'm sending what? Rain. Now, at some point, Elijah took this posture, put his head between his knees in a posture of prayer. And afterwards, he lifted up his head and sent his servant. He said, go and check the cloud because I expect to see rain. Do you know for seven different times, the first six times, the servant went to check. He saw nothing. But guess what? Elijah was too... There's something about your inner picture. Get on your feet. Coming back tomorrow. Pastor Manuel, the inner picture.
Yes, sir.
What God said, he had captured it so much.
Yeah.
The rain was so real to him,
yeah,
that the words of his servant that I saw nothing meant nothing. Just because he gave the word does not mean you will not have to supply faith. And the process of faith requires you to, you know, spend enough time with the prophecy, with the promise, until the picture becomes so clear and strong that even when the physical and the natural is still saying there's nothing like what you saw, your conviction of what was said in eternity is so big that what time records now has nothing on you. The servant says, I saw nothing. He said, go again. And he went again. Sir, I didn't see anything. I said, go. I don't know how many times we have to go, but I want you to make up your mind. I will go until time bows to eternity. Oh, you didn't hear me. You know, there are prophecies hanging over you. Oh, you didn't hear me. Marco Sataba, that time cannot see now. But you need to come to a reality, an understanding that there's something bigger than time. It's called eternity. And you are an eternal species. You are in time temporarily, but you are bigger than time. Even after time has been folded, you will still be. So time has nothing on you. So time catches up with you. But when time has not even caught up, it's okay. Because I know what was said in eternity. And eternity has become the tangibility. Through the process of a conviction, an inner conviction, a picture that is so clear that regardless of what is happening in time, I carry myself around with that picture. I know what I saw. Go again. Go again. Oh, who am I talking to tonight? God says some powerful words to you, but now it seems time is saying otherwise. Go again. I don't know. I don't care how long it's going to take. But guess what? I refuse to drop this tangibility. My conviction based on what was said to me from a greater dimension. The dimension of eternity, which is bigger than time. And you know, eternity has a way of imposing on time. Let me give you an example. You know, in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus was still on earth doing ministry. He had not died. And the Bible says when the evening was come, they brought to him people that were sick. How many of you have seen that scripture before? Verse 14. And the Bible says, and he healed them all that he might be fulfilled what was written. He himself bore our infirmities. He has not died. The guy that would die was still around. In fact, he was the one that was ministering. And yet, he was able to catch. He was able to catch him on what has not happened in time, but was already an eternal reality. He had not died. And yet, it was recorded that those miracles happened because he died. You know, I'm a very practical person. No, you are a supernatural person. And your practicality should be from eternal dimension. I'm being real. Plagues are real. Sicknesses are real. Cancer is real. Shut up! That's not how we talk in the kingdom. We operate from a higher dimension. And we impose that higher dimension on this lower dimension. I'm frustrated. I don't know what to do. Shut up. You've been looking at the wrong stuff. You're like those 10 fake leaders who are sent to go and capture the promise. But they got to the promise and focus on the giants. Around every promise, there are giants looking around, but they are distractions. They don't really matter, because if they mattered, it would have included them in the promise. But when it was given the promise, they were omitted. So why did you get to the promised land and focus on the distraction that were not promised? And you saw the distraction so much that your promise meant nothing to you. Now you are ready to go back to bondage just because of distraction. I don't know who I'm talking to. Just because of a few distractions locking around your promise, you can't see your promise again. The distraction has now become so real to you that now you sing about the distraction. You are willing because of the distraction. You are discouraged about, oh, come on, come on, go back to your dimension. You are from a higher dimension. We impose eternity on time. We don't submit to time. time is catching up. But while time is taking its time to catch up, we remain persuaded about what was given to us from a higher realm of eternity. There are things waiting for you. There are wells that God has called you to redig. And you want to run out of the land God has placed you just because of a few Philistines that don't like you. You know, apart from the fact that there was famine, look at the different kind of opposition Isaac faced. Even the king became his enemy. There was a time they pushed him out of the town because they felt so threatened by his prosperity. So you are too big. He didn't do anything wrong. Joseph was not thrown into the prison because he was a bad boy. He got thrown into the prison because of the demons walking in Potiphar's wife. You know, there are times that God will even employ the demons to accomplish his purpose. I didn't know they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You know, there are faces that you will go through that it will look like, God, are you there? Because they are literally, you're going through the valley of the shadow of death. But guess what? A man of conviction will know, you are still with me. And so I will not fear. Who would have known the pathway to the palace, the pathway to the fulfillment of prophecy, will come through the affliction of the prison. You know, there are seasons that God intentionally hides you. And you call it affliction. But God is hiding you for a bigger purpose. You call it pain, God calls it preparation. The affliction of the present time cannot be compared. It's not worthy to be compared to the glory coming. Why are you so fixated on time? This will pass. Hey, put time where it belongs. Stop elevating time. You are from a bigger dimension. Function from that dimension. There was famine during the days of Isaac. There was famine during the days of Abraham. During the time of Jacob, there was famine. Agree. We are not intimidated by famine. Famine is an opportunity to express our covenant. How will they know there is a God of Israel? How will somebody discover the wisdom of Joseph if there was no famine? The confusion of the palace has a purpose. How will somebody know the gifts of the Spirit at work in the life of Joseph if the king had not had a dream without interpretation? The problems in the marketplace, the problems in your industry is not against you. It's an opportunity for your expression. But your problem is you elevate the natural so high and you value the supernatural. Like, let's be practical. Nothing can be more practical than the supernatural. The supernatural is real. To the glory of God, I'm a blessed man. The lot of channels God has opened for me financially. You'll be shocked some of the things I do where money is concerned. I won't even tell you. I won't bother because you might not be able to contain it. But listen, but with every channel God opens to me, for me, he reminds me, it's just a channel. I remain your source. And there have been times he shut down some channels just to get my attention. Because it seems you are putting your faith in the channel. It's just a channel. Remember the last time the brook chariot, I made it work. That stingy animal brought you food. Just to let you know, I can work wonders, even in the natural. But guess what? I don't want your faith in the channel. So, you know what? The brook will shut down. And next one, the next phase, I'm going to send you to a widow woman because it's also part of the plan. Who makes a widow woman who has just one meal a channel? of supply. Who does that? Come on, talk to me. You're an intelligent woman. Who does that? Of all the people in town, a woman without husband who had just one meal left in her house. You know, we get all emotional about what we're going through, but there is a God that is so calm in spite of the magnitude of the situation. I can imagine how the widow woman, I mean, you know, the wife of the late prophet, whose husband was so broke that even after death, they were still coming after the family. The drama she performed before the prophet. Prophet, what are we going to do? Your servant who served you, who loved the Lord, died. Died broke. Now you're going to take us. And come to the prophet, say, what do you have in your house? Some of you would have gotten offended. That's what we're talking about. You will serve the ministry. You do. You put your life. You put your blood. Did you shed your blood? No wonder his son shed his blood. So you cannot be more committed to ministry than him. He killed his son for you to have a ministry. And calmly, he said, what do you have in your house? So God was not the reason why that prophet was broke. God was not the reason why they were going to take away the family of the prophet. In fact, all this while, the solution has always been in the house, a jar of oil. So what is running you mad? Is getting you so agitated? God is still calm about it. I say, calm down, calm down. That's why the first thing he does, say, he makes you to lie down in green pastures. Calm down. Be calming down. Just calm down. Be calming down. I remember I was serving away in 1996. There was this passenger with us in the car. It was just all over the place. And the driver looked at him. Oh, he said, where are you rushing go? Where are you rushing go? Calm down. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, where are you rushing go? Calm down. The disciples came to Jesus on two different occasions. What are we going to do? We have 5,000 men. 5,000 hungry men. I've been in ministry for 30 years. I've never dealt with 5,000 hungry men. One time it was 5,000 hungry men. The other time it was 4,000 hungry men. They didn't even mention the women because the drama was all over the place. Okay. So don't let us go to the... Let's just focus on the men. The men alone. 5,000 hungry men. And with all the magnitude of the problem, if you're in ministry and you're watching... God told me there's somebody in ministry who is watching this by the way of live stream. You are carrying the problem of the church on your head. You will just die. Somebody already died for the church. Calm down. They came to Jesus. They said 5,000 hungry men. Do you know his solution? He said, tell them to sit down. The disciples say, let us be practical. Let us send them away. Said, the provision is here. Who would have thought, who would have known a boy's lunch was the provision? You are all over the place in time. But God has already provided the solution since eternity. If you will just calm down. He makes you to lie down in green pasture. Calm down. Your food, your provision is right there. Calm down. Calm down. There's nothing you're dealing with that God has not provided the solution before the problem surfaced. Calm down. Calm down. Calm down. I will continue tomorrow. Come on. Did you receive something from the Lord? Higher dimension. That's where we function from. We don't get moved in time. We go back to our higher dimension. And from that higher dimension, we dictate for time. And time bows to eternity. Jesus had different problems he encountered in his ministry. There was a time it was tax money. The provision was there.
Yes.
Calm down. If you had been here, Lazarus would not have been died. Would not have died. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Calm down. He had died for four days. So that God can be glorified. Calm down. For this sickness was not... Can you imagine? They told him he was sick. And he waited for him to die. Because this sickness was not unto death. Even after they recorded in time that he had died. According to Jesus from eternity, he was just sleeping. He told disciples, he said, our friend Lazarus is sleeping. We are going to wake it up. Time light, time recorded, he died. Eternity recorded, he's asleep. Why do the hidden rage at the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves against the Lord and his anointed. Let us cast their cords and break their bands. But he that seated in heaven shall laugh. Calm down. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind stays on thee, eternity. Put your mind on eternity. Put your mind. Don't allow your mind to be dancing around in time. Fix your mind on eternity. His word is eternal. Calm down. Lift up your hands unto heaven. Oh, Rabalaka Sota. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. That's the language of eternity. That's the language that the devil cannot decode. That's the language above your understanding. That's the language that gives you edge, supernatural edge. Mekasuto Prolokotaya. Bolokosa Tabara Lakataya. Bakotaya Kakakataya. Berelekia Sosoboro Lokotaya. A green nekia so bruno kotaya ombla katuso father ben susuburolo yeah besuta baya non duzuzu ogotuzaka egaganduzukota beya shita bere. Jesus, we give you praise. Jesus, we give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If somebody have a problem with your left ear, in the name of Jesus, I speak to that partial deafness. I command that ear to open perfectly. There's another person you're dealing with twitching, your own eye twitching. In the name of Jesus, I speak the life of God over your body. Amen. And I call you hope. That blood pressure that is beginning to rise, I command you to be normalized. Thank you, Lord. I speak to that palpitation of the heart in the name of Jesus. Receive resolution. Wave your hands all over this place. I take authority over every demonic condition under the sound of my voice. I demand that demonic influence is broken, and I demand freedom right now. I come against that affliction in your family. I command it to cease right now. That demonic situation at your workplace, I arrest it. Every wicked spirit messing up with you, I demand they receive a slap from heaven. You know, heaven slaps. Bible talks about the hand of God. It's a strong hand. If you ask Pharaoh, How does it feel to encounter that hand? We say, I got slapped 10 times and I was never the same again. Till today, whenever Egypt hears Israel, they are calm. They calm down. Because different generations have been slapped. The hand of the Lord. And listen, that hand did not stop working when we moved into the New Testament. The Lord spoke to me in December. He said, you know, there's an aspect of my manifestation that a lot of you are missing in the name of grace. He said, I still slap wickedness. There was a sorcerer who was messing with the purpose of God in the New Testament. The guy got slapped too. He became blind. What about Herod? Who wanted to take the glory that belongs to God? He got slapped. He died. I declare every wickedness, every organized wickedness. He said, I will rain hail, strong hail, over the land of Egypt. I declare, let there be execution of divine judgments over every organized wickedness in your life. Do you know there are organized wickedness we go unchecked until somebody arrests it? There have been times God told me, he said, you know, I'm not coming down from heaven to do anything. No, it's you that we bind. And I stood up and I slapped. So I stand in the authority of Jesus. I declare every organized wickedness. Hey, I feel an anointing of the Holy Ghost right now. It's an unusual dimension. Every organized wickedness in the marketplace, in your career, in your workplace, I declare, let there be an execution of divine judgment. You know, God says, I hate injustice. And one of the ways he manifests his hatred for injustice is by slapping wickedness. I declare, by the time NICOS conference 2025 is over, you will have a testimony that every organized wickedness around you has received a divine slap. Yeah. There's organized. And you know, the Lord told me recently, you know, I grew up in a CSC church, and you know, one of the things we detested after we got into the world was like all this enemy, which truthfully it was taken to an extreme. But the Lord told me, he said, but do you know, because of that extreme, you created another extreme. And there are times that you need to arrest, and you will not arrest because you are walking in love. Do you know there are situations that God will need you to stand up for him and execute judgment, and it will be the will of God? Is somebody following with me? There's a time you need to say, God, use that long hand, outstretched arm, and that strong hand to slap. He told Israel, he said, with a strong hand. There are situations that you need that strong hand to come out of. He said, with a strong hand, I will bring you out of what? Egypt. I declare every affliction that is committed to your bondage receives divine slap right now. Yes. And listen, somebody say, oh yeah, we're slapping demons. There are times the demon and the person that gave them the permission need to be slapped together. Because I've realized that there are times you realize that somebody has fully yielded to the devil. And so, just rounding up with the devil. You know, the same Jesus that looked at Peter and said, oh, Peter, the enemy desired to sift you, but I've prayed for you that you know what? You'll be recovered. The same Jesus turned to Judas and said, Judas, what you have to do? Do quickly. Because apparently the guy has sold himself how totally to the devil. He had gotten to a point, there's no need for prayer meeting. This one is part of the package. I'm serious. There are people who have yielded themselves. Listen, every demonic operation on the heart today needs the instrumentality of humanity. Did you hear me? Because the devil does not have the right to manifest. Even to mess with you, he has to use your mind. So is that he uses your mind or he uses a dedicated agent? I declare in the name of Jesus, every dedicated agent of wickedness that in the way of your expression and manifestation as a child of God, I declare by the authority of Jesus, let there be execution of divine judgment. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Lift up your hands.